Romans 8:17. We are heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus. This is Heir Church.
With Pastor Dave Thomas of the Heir Church, 159 Clark Road, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us at our new Northside campus every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our website is theheirchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Dave Thomas.
So it says, verse 3 says, when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Okay, now, he sent for Jesus, asked him to come heal his servant, because his servant was sick and ready to die. He was real sick. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. Jesus, he a good guy. You know, the elders of the Jews. Now, keep in mind, these the Jews. Remember, Jesus dealt with the Jews. He said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You must make a note of this, because when Jesus approached the Jews, they knew the Bible. They knew the law. Are you with me? This is the gospel. He's dealing with people that knew the law. And so, matter of fact, I wanted to mention this to you. I think I'll get time to go back over to Romans 4 and Romans 5, that salvation is legally settled. Salvation itself, you are legally saved. Amen. I'm saying it again. You are legally saved. See, because the law has certain requirements. And to get us saved, that law had to be fulfilled. The law had to be fulfilled. You couldn't ignore it. That was God's law. Jesus fulfilled the whole law. That means you are legally who you are. You are who you are legally according to the law. But you're not bound by the law. But you're living by grace through faith. For we're saved by grace through faith. All right, hold your point now. Hold your point. If I'm saved by grace and faith, I am with the law. Because salvation could not be made available the way you got it. It wasn't free. See, you're saved by grace, but salvation was not made available by grace. It was made available by Jesus living, dying, and going to that cross and being raised from the dead. That was a price that had to pay. The law asked for a price. Somebody got to live perfect to pay that price. See, it cost God the life of Jesus. But to you, it's by grace through faith. See, you can't have it you go in the store to buy a pork chop, but they don't have no pork chop, you can't get none. They got to have them. They said, we don't have none. You say, but I want some. Well, we don't have any. It's got to be made. So salvation had to be made available. Like it is, when you got saved, it was made available. But it was made available legally. So when you got saved, you are legally saved. Hallelujah. I say you're legally saved. That's when the devil tells you, well, you're not really saved. No, devil. I'm the real deal. I'm the real deal legally. I'm living by grace through faith. Are you with me? And so that's what when the word of God said. When we sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are you with me? Because you have salvation. You can get forgiveness. Are you with me? That's the mercies of God. But your salvation itself was a legal accomplishment by God by the blood of Jesus. That's why you can't unsave yourself. You didn't save yourself. Amen. Isn't God good? See, you have to be grounded in this and know, because if you don't know, the devil is a liar and a thief. He's the father of lies and the author of confusion. He said, look what you did. You can't really be saved. You did that. Amen. And you say, yeah, that's right. Not understanding, you didn't earn your way to salvation. And you can't brag on your good works either. Once you're saved. You ought to be better. You should be a whole lot better. But you can't take the credit for your salvation on it. Because Jesus did. The word said it's the finished work. The finished work. You know, salvation is always a good message. You know, people, because always a lot of people out there on Facebook and on radio, they're not saved. And a lot of people have questions. They have these real questions because they're real smart. Amen. That's what we'll give them the answers. It's right there in the Bible. Can you say amen? Now, this is in Romans 5. We're going to Romans 5, but we're not going there. We're going to stay right here and look at faith, amen, acquisition to get it. See, you've got to get strong in all these areas, how to get it, how to keep it, and how to release it. Say it with me, how to get it, how to keep it, and how to release it. Yeah, the devil will challenge, he will challenge you in your faith. He will say, well, oh, well, you know, maybe you don't have enough faith. I've heard people say that over the years. Say, you know, I don't know. Maybe I don't have enough faith. Oh, you got enough. It's powerful. Amen. You got enough. You just don't know what to do with what you have. Come on, somebody. You know, it's a major thing today in the age of technology for people to have stuff that they really don't know how to work it. Amen. We have a whole generation coming along with all kind of technical stuff. And I mean, folk don't even know how to answer their phone. The phone ring, they hand the phone to the kids. Answer that. Mama, answer your phone. I don't know how. Yeah, you answer it. Amen. Glory to God. It's probably not that bad, but amen. And you realize that phone is like a computer. I mean, you can talk around the world and do a... Get off that phone. You know this long distance? Y'all remember them days? Get out that phone. Hey, listen, I got to go. This long distance. Can I get a witness? This long distance. We've been on here a minute already. Listen, write me a letter. I'll look for your letter. Mama, ain't no such thing as long distance no more. You can call anywhere. Yeah, I don't know. You get that bill. That bill come. Let's go on. Praise God. All right, so in any case, in this verse of scripture, so he said that, for he loveth our nation and had built us a synagogue. And Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent his friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. He's saying to him, you don't have to go. Are you following me? See, when they told Jesus, and I want you to get this, when they told Jesus, now you know if you're sick, you know you want Jesus coming. Somebody's sick, you know Jesus, he over on Dunn Avenue, you know you want him to come by here, Lord. Come by here, Lord. Come by here. Oh, Lord, come by here. Amen. We grew up singing them songs. You want the Lord to come by. He already here. He came when you came. So, in any case, so the centurion said, somebody say, faith in God. So, yeah, look at these levels. So it says, and Jesus went with him, verse 6, we went with him. And, you know, say he loved our nation and he built us a synagogue. He's a good guy. And when he was not now far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. All right, now, you got to get this. I'm not worthy for you to come to my house, and I don't feel worthy to come to you. Come on, somebody. Talking to Jesus. He's communicating with Jesus. See, the key thing is, you understand the story, but do you understand the use of faith here? And Jesus is about to make a powerful statement about faith in God. This man had faith in God. Now, he done built a synagogue and done all this. This man believe in God. Amen. You talking about getting people to tithe. He done built a synagogue. He done, hey, I'm going to build y'all a synagogue. He got a good retirement from the military or something. Because he was a centurion soldier. Amen. He was an officer. Come on, somebody. And so he said, wherefore thought I, verse number 7, this is 7:7, Luke 7:7. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. He's telling Jesus, just speak it. Now, I want you to look at two things that occur right here, because this is the role you have to play. This is a part of how we function. Well, everything pertaining to your life has already been spoken by God. He's already said it in a word. You just got to find it. Well, where you said that at? Where you said that? It's in the, that's where you can come to church, get the word, learn the Bible, and you'll find out what God said. Turn to your neighbor and say, you know, we need to know what God said. Because I have some things in my life, I want to know what God said about them. Amen, amen. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Amen. Hallelujah. If you know you're wrong, you probably don't want to know what he said about it. But if there's some blessings in store, you want to know. Amen. But the word said, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. He said, but say in a word, and my servant will be healed. Now, in your Bible, you ought to underline that. Now, I have a different Bible today. You underline it in some kind of way. I don't know what you do with your telephone. You know how to put lines under it on that? Do it on your iPad or whatever. Amen. Those of you who listen to Facebook, underline the word of God. He said, for I also am a man under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say to one, go, and he goeth, and I say to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Now, here's the thing. I want to do this quickly, as far as I can go. But acquisition, the man had faith already. Acquisition. Now, he obviously was familiar with the Jews and with the fact that Jesus had come. He was clearly, now you build a synagogue, you know these people. You know what they believe in, you know what they're reading. Are you with me? All right, so here he says, I say unto one, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, he comes. He knows the use of authority. Some years ago, Brother Arthur, you remember Dr. Hayden come out with this book called The Authority of the Believer. Lord have mercy. You talk about a Christian shaken book. Many believers didn't have a revelation of the authority God has given you. You have authority because you have Jesus' name. You have a name above every name. Amen. You ever know you go someplace where everybody can't get in, they want to know your name? And you tell them your name, they say, well, we ain't never heard of it. You don't know you. I'm not talking about the club either. Tell them so-and-so out here. They say they don't know you. Now, we talk about something for real, the power, amen, the blessing, eternity, the spirit world. The spirit world know who you are because you have Jesus' name. Poverty knows who you are because you have Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You look at poverty and say, poverty, what you doing in here? What are you doing in here? Amen. Praise the Lord. So, he understood authority. Right in your note, revelation of authority. Now, this is faith in God still. Acquisition, possession, and release. Now, what he did was because he had faith, he didn't have to acquire it. He had already acquired it, which means he had it. That means it was in his possession. He already believed things about God, amen, that would facilitate the healing of his servant. He already believed in the healing power of God, and he knew that Jesus didn't have to be at the house for it to work. Do you know it like that? Man, I tell you, if Jesus was on the earth, everybody would have. He'd be booked up for, I'm going to be all right. And when Jesus going to get here? Everybody would want him at his church all the same day. You know, and Jesus was on the earth, he wasn't omnipotent. You know, he could be here and he's over there. Amen. So, he said, if I also am a man set under authority, having one under me, soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Now, all right. And this is just one. I want to go to another one. I won't be able to go to all of them today. Because your familiarity with the use of faith, the release it. You've already done it. That's how you got saved. You didn't get saved because you had faith in God through Jesus. That's not how you didn't get saved because of that. It was a part of it. You had to say something. You had to say something about what you believe. When you pray the prayer of salvation with somebody, they have to say it with their mouth. With the heart, man believeth, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation manifestation. It doesn't happen unless you say something. Amen. When you pray, you're saying something. Hallelujah. And now, we'll take another time and go and look at prayer. I remember one of the things a lot of years ago we started. You want to know people where they were in love and listen to them pray. Let me say, would you pray? Pray for me. Just listen to them pray. Are they praying? Are they begging? Are they in between begging and not so sure? Well, Lord, Lord, if you hear us, if you understand that, because you're understanding God, if you understand this situation, God. What? If he understands. Hold it. Don't go no further. Stop the prayer. Stop the present. If he understands, he the author of salvation and healing. What do you mean if he understands? He the redeemer. You talking to God who sent Jesus to redeem us. What do you mean? You think he not forgot what he did? I know it seems funny, but that's what bad prayers, that's what they do. That's what's coming out of prayer. Somebody says, hold on, don't you pray. You meditate. You pray, brother. You meditate. You meditate and listen. Well, it's amazing how believers we have lived our lives, with this. But let's go for it. Let's stay serious to the word to get it, because this centurion soldier, this is a powerful, it's a powerful explanation of the power of God and the position that you are in. This centurion soldier, he says in verse number 8, he said, I'm a man under authority. You want to make note of this, having under me soldiers. That he understands the use of authority. He knows now you have authority. Jesus has authority, and he's tapping into the authority that Jesus has. Are you with me? Now, keep in mind, Jesus had not died, been buried, and raised from the dead right here. Can I get a witness? He was God's son, born of a virgin, filled with the Holy Ghost, operating under the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. Just like John the Baptist. He's filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. So when you look at the power, this was an area I used to have questions about this. How can this be like this here and this? Oh, Jesus haven't been to the cross yet. What he said was, remember God's power all through the Old Testament, God been God a long time. But when Jesus came into earth, amen, here, he's filled with the Holy Ghost. The church age had not begun yet, which began at Pentecost. It had not begun yet. But here you see this healing, deliverance, casting out devils, all in the gospel. Amen. All right. So, but the key is you got to find yourself. You got to find where you are with this. This centurion soldier, he says he was under authority. So when he said, I tell them, go do this. And they come and they do it this. When Jesus heard these things, read this together with me real loud. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And see, Jesus was dealing with the religious people, the people that knew the Bible, the Old Testament and the Bible. Are you with me? He said, oh my God, picture Jesus saying, oh my God. That's me saying, oh my God. But Jesus said, I'm not seeing it on this one. Sometimes, saints, you can learn things and grasp them quickly based on your previous work experience or the kind of work you do. You can put things in the context, amen, of authority. See, if you've been, any of y'all been in the military, I know John been in the military, and you know many other elders, you know authority. When they tell you to do something, they're not asking you to meditate on it. They mean right now. Whether they say it from their mouth or whether they write it, when you read it, you better get to moving. Are you following me? These things are not. So we're in a time where people, they challenge and everything. They don't. They're not properly oriented to authority. But this man, quickly, this man, he said, he told Jesus, "I'm a man in authority." So when he had Jesus approach, here's how he used his faith. Here's how his faith was operating. Based on who Jesus is, he don't have to come. The general is not coming to your house. He gonna send them orders to you. You better be moving the minute you get them, cause they document when you get them, and you on the clock. When he send those orders, you on the clock. And they want to know how long did it take you to respond to what they sent to you. When they tell you to be on a plane and be somewhere, you better be on that plane. He said, "Well, they tell him, hey man, listen, I got to go bowling tonight. You better cancel everything. My wife and kids, they done gone down to Disney World. You better leave them a note. You in the military, you better leave them a note. Or tell your cousin or somebody to tell them you had to go." Amen. Oh, no, yes, it is. Because you in the military, you belong to them. You belong to them. They say, "Oh no." So scripture, this Jesus said, "I have not seen so great faith. No, not in all Israel." Now, but I'm gonna close with this. Here's what he's really saying. Okay, is he saying, "I haven't seen anybody that have this kind of faith? I haven't seen anybody that wanted this kind of faith. I haven't seen anybody release this kind of faith." Right? Are you with me? Think with me, church. You got to do this, because this is where the prize money is. Prize money? What prize money? I don't know. That's just a good statement where you get the reward. This is where the rewards and the blessings at. That was the best I could think of at the moment. This is where the breakthrough at. This is where all the good. This is it. When you release, because this is how you got saved. You had to speak it. And so what he did, he had the faith, and he checked them. Somebody said check. He checked them. He said, "Oh, no, man, you don't have to come. I don't need to come to the house." He wanted Jesus to heal his servant. He knew the power. He knew the power available. How many of you know the power of God? How many of you know the power of God can heal from here across town? "Well, you know, I just got to go over there. I got to go over there on 103rd and lay hands on." No, you don't. God can heal over there or from right here. He can heal from right here to North Carolina. He can heal from right here to South Africa. There's no distance in the spirit. Are you with me? Jesus did not go to his house. He did not get the touch Jesus. "Hey, Jesus, man, listen, I'm glad you're in the neighborhood. You kind of come to our city with your crusade. You know, listen, why are you here?" No, none of that took place. He said, "I'm not worthy you come to my house." But he did say, now, why is he telling us this? I'm closing my Bible here, saying, I'm not going to go to the other stuff. He's saying, you've got to get this. See, because this is what God has placed in our hand. We have, the centurion soldier have, if you understand authority. We have what the centurion's soldier had, if you understand possession. If you have possession of the word, you're a believer in God. You have the power of God at your disposal. And so Jesus, not normally, the normal natural thing would be to get Jesus to come to your house. Since he's already in the city, running the crusade, doing the lunchtime, he'd come on over to your house. No. The centurion told him, "You don't have to come. I'm not worthy that you come under my house." But he did point out, here's why I believe the way I believe. This is why I believe the way I believe. And you know what's happening today? Today, this morning, you're getting to believe the way he believed. Because you can believe the way the centurion believed, because it's on the basis of authority. Once you know who Jesus is, And Jesus hadn't even been raised from the dead. Amen. Are you with me? But he's filled with the Holy Ghost, the Son of God. But now it's one last point. I want to get this in the next 2 minutes. Here's what it is. When he said, speak in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Now, you know, normally preaching, why should it take this long to go through that, these verses like this here? Because there's so much in them. Are you with me? See, you know, we ain't preaching to impress you about the centurion soldier. Jesus was impressed with the man. Well, why don't you preach where we'd be impressed? No, this is not about you being impressed. It's about you understanding if it impressed Jesus, it's something you're supposed to have. If it impressed Jesus, I want that. Because he got what he wanted. What he wanted was his servant to be healed, didn't he? He wanted the servant to be healed. He wasn't trying to impress Jesus. But he was explaining that Jesus, listen, Jesus, you don't have to come to the house. My faith is at a level. Because I was a soldier and had people under me, I believe at this level right here, Jesus. And what I need you to do is speak in a word. I need you, let it come out of your mouth, Jesus. Lord, are you there? Say, if you were there, you'd be reading your Bible. You'd be listening to some tapes. You'd have that word going in you all the time if you knew the power and authority of it. If you don't do that, it's not going to come out of your mouth because it's not going in your heart. Because you think something else got the power. You think that Friday paycheck can do it. God can cover you with no check. No check, no job, nothing. God can call you to live it at a level he wants you to live in. Come on, somebody. We were at dinner and a preacher was telling us, talking about, we were at lunch a couple of weeks ago, and he said he came up, he was telling, and you know, sometimes preachers give each other testimonies, you know, kind of get a witness. And he said, yeah, Pastor, I've been wanting to tell you this, He said, I was out of work like for a year, and you know, and a person, God rose a person up and said they'd pay my mortgage for the whole year. Maybe that was because he's a pastor. No, it wasn't. He was in faith. Then he said the daughter needed the tuition to go to college, and it was kind of high. He said, baby, you're going to have to believe God. You're going to have to use your faith. She used the faith, got a whole tuition paid for. It was $35,000 worth of tuition. She used the faith. And now he told how it happened. Can I get a witness? See, so the Word of God says, have faith in God. But it's more than just having the faith. It's having the faith, maintaining the faith, and releasing the faith. How much of your faith in God are you releasing, and how much of your life or your life compartments do you not know what God said about? You know what God says about your prosperity? He said, I will that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. It's the will of God that you eat the best, wear the best, drive the best, and go first class in life. That's the will of God. And that you walk in divine health. And that you have the peace of mind. The peace that passes all understanding. Where everybody coming to loose at the seam, you have that peace of God. Can you say amen? That you walk in love and glorify God. I'm going to stop right there. Give the Lord a shout of praise. We'll pick up next time. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Say, I believe I receive. Say, I believe I receive. In Jesus' name.
Hello, this is Pastor Thomas. That's all the time we have for today's message. I'd like to personally invite you to come out to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. We're in our new location at 159 Clark Road, right off of North Main Street, just past the Hexer Drive overpass. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us for The Air Church, the live worship service from The Air Church, 159 Clark Road on Jacksonville's north side, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us again next Sunday morning at our new location in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. or join us at 6 p.m. next Sunday for the worship service of The Air Church here on Praise 107.9. For more information, go to www.theairchurch.org. That's the HEIR church.org.